Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. And that's exactly what we're going to be discussing today. And I'm so delighted you're able to join us because we have a fascinating guest. We have Ivan Rados with us. The man has quite an interesting background. We're going to be talking about health. What's the old saying? If you don't have your health, well, you're just not going to be doing very well in life. If you have health, you've got everything, as the old saying goes. But he takes a different perspective. He says, health, it's all about consciousness. Ivan, I want to welcome you to the show.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for inviting me.
It's a delight. Now, we were laughing before we came on air because I was asking you if you were Russian. And then I said, no, you're Yugoslavian from the information you have here, but you reminded me so much of a very dear friend of mine who's Russian, the accent. And you said that you've got a particular flavor, and you need to share that with my audience.
The flavor. The flavor was that I was not born in my body. My body was born in me, in my consciousness, because my consciousness is bigger than my body. So when you ask me, am I from former Yugoslavia, I said, my body was born in former Yugoslavia, but not me. And you asked me, oh, you, because of your accent, I connected you to former Yugoslavia. And I said, yeah, but my accent is a mixture between heavy Eastern European accent and heavy Yorkshire accent, because I lived in Yorkshire for 10 years before moving to Canada. So I'm I have a very unique accent.
Yes, you do.
But I do speak English, yes.
Yes, which is very, very good. I'm so glad you do, because I'd have a devil of a time if you spoke another language, because English is my primary language. Ivan, health is such a big issue today. We hear comments, you know, here in the United States, there's this big upheaval regarding the health care plan. We have so many issues that are gurgling to the surface and causing such a quagmire of frustration and confusion with so many people. Well, there's sort of a movement on by individuals, and I like to think I'm one of them, that we have to take personal responsibility for our health. And your book, Health, It's All About Consciousness, comes from that paradigm, but with a little bit of a different twist. Why is it that this was something that you felt you needed to be able to convey in the way of information, empowering people so that they could know how to be more healthy and be aware of healthful venues that they can utilize for their own physical well-being? What was your particular journey that you went through that made this so important to you?
When I was a kid, I was reading all books which no one wanted to read. And I accepted everything, literally everything. So aliens, different dimensions, different life forms in different planets, everything. But with a little, with a pinch of salt, because I thought, okay, that's really great. I appreciate and accept everyone's experience or everyone's imagination. But in order for me to really know what's real and what's illusion, I have to experience it myself. So, and I open myself to possibility that something will come along the way that I can really get the truth, get the bottom line of my inquiry. So I came up upon some book about Zen. And the story in that book goes like this. Zen student came to his master and asked him, in what state of the mind should I seek the truth? And the master replied, there is no mind, so you cannot put it in any state. And there is no truth, so you cannot seek it. The student was puzzled and said, if there is no mind and no truth, why do students gather around you to study? And the master looked around and said, I don't see anyone. The student then asked, then who are you teaching? I don't have a mouth, so how can I teach? The master replied. The student said sadly, I cannot be your student. I cannot understand. And the master replied, I don't understand myself. And I was puzzled because I didn't understand anything. But that what I didn't understand was like a inquiry, like a portal for me to go deep and understand the meaning of that little Zen story. So I reached 20, you know, I reached my 20s, and finally I got it somehow out of blue, out of my meditation. The mind is not. It only appears to be. The mind only appears to be because of lack of consciousness. Everything that appears is illusion. The mind appears so much that the consciousness submits itself to the mind, and the mind starts to think, I'm you. And I start thinking, I'm my mind. So for me, that realization was so clear. Mind is a dream. And if I'm my mind, I'm dreaming my life. If I'm my mind, I'm dreaming my health. So how to attain my health? And after so many years of meditating and healing people and going through difficult stage, but that difficult stage was also pleasurable stage because I was transforming, I was transcending myself, I came up with the realization that health is natural and illness is unnatural. Disease or illness is an indication that we are separated from our existential nature, from our wholeness. First, we have to understand what healing is. And you can find that in my book. There's a huge chapter about that, what healing is. We have to understand the word healing in order to go further. The words holism, healing, holy, come from the word whole. To be healed means to be the whole. It means to be in touch with one's own multidimensionality and interconnectedness. To be healthy means to be to experience oneself as a part of the whole. To be unhealthy means to be disconnected from the whole, to experience oneself as being separated, to be disconnected, disconnected from who we are, from what is, from real us, to be disconnected from the truth, from disconnected from the health, you know, to be the mind. So our natural state is wholeness, one health. Diseases, as I can, I have so many cases where people were healed just understanding the disease is illusion. Disease doesn't exist. It is only an absence of health. It appears in the non-existential mind as real. And that's what attachment is, attachment to illusion, attachment to non-existential entity, just as darkness seems real. However, darkness is only absence of light. When light is, darkness is not. When consciousness is, unconsciousness is not. When health is, diseases are not. Simple as that. And when the present moment of now is, the mind's time is not. When we disconnect oneself from now, we disconnect oneself from our infinite health, which is always, always present in us, as the primordial source of everything that is.
There have been many instances where I have interacted with people, and I know that there are psychiatrists and psychoanalysts that will say the same thing, and I think anyone who works as a counselor can draw upon their own experience or be aware of people that become ill because of maybe grief or anger. There's all kinds of emotions. And the body goes into an upheaval, and the body can only absorb so much for so long until it just says, okay, I've got to do something to wake you up, and then all of a sudden you have it. And many times I think people go through experiences because they just don't know what to do with their emotions. Now, your book goes into dealing with different chakras, but you have a story about a man that I think is very much worth mentioning. He was a Russian Orthodox priest. How did you get to know Father Alexei?
I don't know. I was in my office and someone was knocking on the door. And he came and said, please don't mention anyone that I'm here, because I'm a priest. I said, okay, but if you don't mention that I heal the priest, if you don't mention to anyone that I heal the priest, you know, that would be revealed. So he came and he was talking about so many experiences, one stress after another, stress after another. And obviously for me, I had to preach him. I had to really guide him to see the point of attachment. He's attached to the loss. He was attached to the loss of his wife and kid, because they were killed in the Romanian Revolution, I don't know, 80s, when Ceausescu was taken away and killed. So since that time, everything starts really going down the stream. And I helped him to see that his attachment was his unresolved experience, unresolved grief. He lived for a long, long, long time not accepting the loss of his son and his wife. And finally, when he got it, finally, when he released that that memory from his mind becomes free to accept new reality. So in the meantime, I was changing his belief as well. And there was one point where everything started really going well with him, when I mentioned that he doesn't trust, you know, I said, Father, you don't trust yourself. He said, yes, I do. I said, no, you don't. You see, you are wearing the cross. That's a sign of Christianity. So you are a priest. Mm-hmm. You are very respected in community. So everyone listens to you for the advice. You know, you are the sort of messenger to God. So, but that cross has a curse in it, because it's not powerful enough. One part is missing. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, imagine God is on top of that cross, one line pointing towards, and you are down there at the bottom. So it's very vertical line. There's a horizontal line. So, you know, on one side, God loves you infinitely. On the other side, you love God infinitely. On that horizontal line, you see, God accepts you infinitely. But on the other side, you don't accept yourself infinitely. That line is really broken. So once you start trusting oneself, once you start really accepting everything in your reality as the inevitable experience for you to grow in consciousness, then you're going to die from disease. You're going to die from cold. You're going to die from cancer. And he was listening to me, and, you know, very shortly, a month later, he was breathing more. He was walking more. And a couple of months later, he was totally cured from, you know, terminal cancer. And the doctors, they gave him just 1 month to live. So health is a natural state of being. So if you don't accept your natural state of being, then you're going to die from all kinds of diseases imprinted, embedded by social conditioning, or by your own conditioning, embedded by unresolved, unlived, unaccepted experiences in your psycho memory.
The body is intelligent, And many times it's hard for people to understand that every single cell in the body is really a total world unto itself. And the intelligence of communication between the cells and between the organs is absolutely just amazing. And you bring out a very good point in your book, Health, It's All About Consciousness, how we, in these times, live in a culture where we don't like the way we look, we don't like the color of our skin, we always complain about what's wrong with us, rather than really appreciating who we are and how our body is taking care of us. And it's, isn't it an amazing phenomenon? Because I think every generation goes through it, but we have all kinds of images that are constantly put upon us, whether it's magazines we see at the grocery store or we watch stuff on television. And it's like, gee, this is the image. It's sort of like the Barbie doll image or the Twiggy image that was really hot at one time. And it's not realistic. It's not realistic at all. And there's all kinds of images. It's more for, more affecting, I think, with women, but it also affects men as well. And
that's right.
What we think and what we feel, I think the feelings are just so important. It once was said to me, the strength of will is nothing compared to the strength of one's imagination. And imagination will win over willpower so easily.
That's right.
It's just incredible. What is your stance on that?
I mean, the usual approach of the medical world is to attack illness as an enemy of the body. So we hear about fighting an epidemic such as swine flu, and we talk a lot about war on cancer. You see, this is embedded in our psyche deeply. So we are in constant war all the time. Not in, not with outside reality. That's the expression of our internal war, which is happening in our mind, because we have a mind who is always dividing the reality into I accept this part, I don't accept that part, I believe that's real, I believe that's not real. So that deep division is in the mind, and mind means conflict with the whole, because mind means separate self, personal existence. So not being part of the whole. That's what separation is. That's what disconnection from the God, from the divine is. So I have seen so many people in my practice, and some people, which is so incredible, that some people need their diseases, they need their suffering, they need unconsciousness for a variety of reasons. Some are in love with very special but unrecognized, incurable diseases. Some have such a low self-esteem that anyone can give them any disease they wish. Some seek help and sabotage every treatment just to prove that they are incurable and therefore in some way special. Still others seek to revenge on someone. Some are encouraged to get ill to avoid blame, responsibility, or for financial rewards, for example, disability insurance. Some are so addicted to trying many different approaches to healing that it becomes their way of life. So it is clear that many of us are in clear, enclosed, and significant relationship with disease. But the disease is just an image in our mind, image which is disconnected from the whole. Image is a frozen energy, nothing else. Unresolved, frozen fact. When you look at the tree, do you know anything about the tree? No, you don't. You are safe with the name. You are safe with the artifact. You are safe with the, that's a tree. The tree is a living being existing as you. You are part of the tree. So what is our relationship with diseases? You see, what is really our relationship with diseases? Change the relationship to relation. Then you will get out of the image. Then you will be in the flow, in the process of divine which is happening right now, which is allowing you to be healed by itself. You are healing yourself by allowing body to heal itself. You don't have to bring medication to the body. You just have to accept your body as it is, because it is divine vehicle. It is a temple. It is inner home. So you have to really clean that home from intruders. That's the mind with its thoughts. I mean, it seems that I'm against the mind. I'm not. The mind is a beautiful instrument. The mind is an incredible tool. But I am not my mind. That's the inner realization. Even I'm not my body. My body is part of me, yes. My mind is part of me, but I am not my mind. I'm not my emotions. I am not. Only consciousness is. When you become conscious of who you are, then you can be at rest. You can be at peace. You can be balanced. And you can be at ease. You will not be at disease. That's what disease is, not being at ease with who you are.
Very well said. You had a case with a young woman that your wife actually brought to you. You mentioned the young woman in your book. Her name was Maria. And she went around proclaiming herself as being crazy. And she had gone through psychiatric care for, 20 years?
Oh, yeah. I mean, more than that. Yeah. She came to see me and she said, I am crazy. I said, okay, that's what you believe, that you're crazy. Okay? And I'm saying you're not. She says, how do you know that? I said, just simple logic. If you're claiming your insanity, that means you're very sane because you are aware that you're insane. You see? So there is a consciousness. There is a possibility that you can disconnect from that that attachment. So you need to detach from the definition you are carrying as you. You defined yourself as ill or as mad. Who told you that you're mad? Oh, my doctor, my psychiatrist, my even policeman and judge, because she would sometimes go on the roof and scream naked, and police will come arrest her, and she will face the judge, and judge will say, you're crazy, just go to the mental hospital. So no one wanted really to help her in any way. So she felt rejected by her family, rejected by society, rejected by anyone, even rejected by God. She said, I have only two choices, even to kill myself or suffer in life infinitely. I said, there is another choice. She said, no, I don't have any other choice. Yes, you do, because I told you that you're healthy, so you have healthy choice. What's the healthy choice? To be health. She said, I cannot do that. I mean, she tried to kill herself, I think, 20, 30 times. But, she tried. If she wanted, really, she would kill herself. But she was asking for acceptance, from others. But basically, why she came to me, because she wanted me to really guide her that she can accept herself, that she can accept every single experience of her, accept everything in her reality, positive and negative, accepted and rejected, that she can finally trust herself, that she can finally educate herself. Education, by the way, real education means to draw out your consciousness. Otherwise, if you are not in real education, we are in indoctrination. So we are taking others' wishes as ours, others' beliefs as ours. That's what social conditioning is. And after a couple of sessions, she was fine. Yeah.
One of the things you did, though, when you were working with her, because you do work as a healer, you said she was so blocked in different parts of her body. And
right.
I remember so many years ago a shaman describing, and he was from South America, and he was not familiar with any of our fancy terminologies. When he would describe his healing process, he said he could look at the human body, and whenever the lights were not on, He knew where the blockage was, and that's where he would work. That's where he would shift energy. And I thought that that was a marvelous description, and you use the terms chakras. If the chakras are blocked, then they need to be unblocked. And that's one of the things that you did help her with. And that's something I'd like for us to discuss a little bit, because the chakras are terms, and almost all my audience is familiar with this, I'm sure, but for those that might not know a great deal about chakras who might be listening to the show, they are the energy centers in the body. There's a number of them, and you read those energy centers, and then if they are blocked, you help them to become unblocked, correct?
That's right. That's right. You see, the 98% of all diseases are stress-related, and stress is a certain mind aspect going in circular way, certain mind attachments, you know, certain ideas, certain dogma, certain beliefs. So if the mind is in the stress, the body is in the stress as well, because mind cannot exist without the body. So it needs senses. So the mind is choosing what's real and what's wrong. So the mind is always in a conflict with itself. So the body struggles, because body becomes possessed by the mind thoughts. So if the mind is in a state of stress, the body cannot really repair itself. So entire chakra system might be blocked, or certain chakra systems, certain chakras might be blocked. And chakras are related to and closely linked with the glands. So if certain chakra is blocked, then certain glands will overcharge the body with chemicals or deplete the body of chemicals. So the body will be in constant fight to really maintain the equilibrium. So the body is struggling until the body totally collapsed and said, I really cannot handle anymore. So that's why the cancer will come and start really. Cancer is nothing than the, you know, disconnected cells from the body, and the body is not able to wash them away, because every single cell contains the primordial information, primordial knowledge about everything that is. So every cell has the ability to multiply itself and replace diseased or disconnected cells. But the body is not able because of our choices, unconscious choices as well. You know, unconscious eating lots of junk, being surrounded by the chemicals, you know, going into energy field of so many so many unconscious people, you know, rage, hate, anger, jealousy, and all that. So what you attract is what you are. What you are is what you attract. So this reality is a mirror of you. The way you see yourself, the way you treat yourself, that reality will treat you as well. So if you are in a constant state of stress, then you will be surrounded in this reality by lots of stress, lots of stressful people and lots of stressful situations. So the seven chakras act as a receiver and transmitter for subtle, infinite energy of oneness. You can call it prana, you can call it chi or life force, bioforce, call it the way you want. So balance is the key to health and well-being. Imbalance can manifest in many ways, with the general feeling of something being switched off. That refers to chakra. So that chakra is not supplying energy to the body, and the body is trying to maintain that equilibrium, but it's not able, it's not capable of doing that, because it is in depletion of energy. Or something which seems to be missing. What seems to be missing? It means to be, you know, the missing part is the soul. You know, I was, just a couple of years ago, I was reminded by someone about the Holy Trinity from Atlantean teaching. The Holy Trinity is not Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's body, soul, and consciousness. So the body is a vehicle. It is the temple for, it is visible temple, particle-like temple for the soul, which is invisible, a wave-like, a temple, but again, a vehicle, a temple for consciousness. So in order for us to really connect to that infinite energy of oneness, we need to reunite body and soul. That's why we are called human beings. So human stands for three chakras below the heart, and being human stands for the chakras below the heart, and three chakras above the heart stands for being. So when we unite our animal aspect and our divine aspect into oneness, then what we feel is the feeling of love. Love is not sentimental. Love is acceptance of all that is, acceptance of you as you. And if you accept you as you, then you will really use the mind as a tool. You will not be used by the mind.
Ivan, this has just been terrific. Your book, Health, It's All About Consciousness. There is so much about the chakras in here. He goes into meditation. There are many thoughts that Ivan Rados will share with you. Also, don't hesitate to go to his website, ivanrados.com. That's I-V-A-N-R-A-D-O-S, ivanrados.com. Ivan, I wish you continued success. I think your message is a very good one, and it gives us a different paradigm to work with regarding staying well, enjoying good health, and realizing that we're a part of something very special in this experience of life. Thank you for being my guest today, Ivan.
Thank you, and I love you.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't forget, check out ivanrados.com and his book, Health, It's All About Consciousness. We'll be back in just a moment.
Welcome, my lords and ladies, to the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair, located at Maris Farms in Buckley, Washington. For 3 weekends in August, starting August 7th and 8th, we will transport you back to the days of old, where magic and merriment reign. Come see the multitude of musicians, dancers, jugglers, gypsies, peasants, nobles, pirates, and prestidigitation. That's magic for you commoners. Learn to swing a sword or shoot a bow and be knighted by Her Majesty the Queen. Hold your breath as jousters wheel their mounts around to engage in full contact combat on the field of battle. Sign on to sail the seas with scurvy pirates, or sit down with friends and family for turkey legs and a fine brewed ale. Delights abound for the young and old at the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair, so come one and all, starting August 7th and 8th, for fun and excitement, and may your day be fair. For tickets and info, go to www.washingtonfair.com.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hello again, this is Donna. Telephone lines have now been opened up. 888-815-9756 is our toll-free worldwide number. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 888-815-9756. And if you are a first-time listener, then I'm so delighted you've been able to join the listening family for the Donna Sebo Show. And all you need to do is give me your first name or initial should you decide you'd like to call in, and then I will tell you some information about yourself, and also you'll have an opportunity to ask a question. So again, 888-815-9756. Okay, you just heard the ad for the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair. I still have 2 passes left. If you're in the state of Washington and you would like to get a free pass, a free family pass, that's for 2 adults and 2 children. Well, give me a call right away because these are not going to last very long. Give me a call and because I've just got the 2 left. Call me at 800-872-8852. That's 800-872-8852. Should you get my voicemail, leave your name and your phone number so I can call you back and get your contact information and get it out into the mail to you right away, because the first weekend is the 7th and 8th of August, and then we have the other 2 weekends as well, so so you have a choice. It's a wonderful event. I'll be there doing readings. Look for the booth that has the giant red lions, brilliant red lions on a yellow background. That is going to be my booth, and I'll be there doing many consultations for people, as well as having a number of books. So I invite you to join me. So again, give me a call or send me an email, Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Also, I want to be sure to let you know that I have got a show with Arthur Clearfield. He's known as Clear Artie. He is on the internet on www.srnsport.com, srnsport.com. I'm going to be on the air with him at about 2 to 2:10 on Friday afternoon Pacific time. So you can tune in and listen to me if you like, and we will be taking call-ins on that show. So that'll be done before I come on air to do my own show. It's going to be a busy Friday, and there's some other programming that's going to be coming up, and that's all being solidified. And as I've told you before, I'm happy to share those programs with you. If you wanted to tell your friends and let them know about when the programs are on as well, you are more than welcome to do that. Bill Cosby is one of my favorite people. I just absolutely adore his sense of humor. He was here in the Pacific Northwest, though, about a month or so ago, and was doing an appearance, and I did not have the opportunity to go, but I did happen to see a television interview with this man. And he is so down-to-earth and so practical, even though he's one of the wealthiest men in the United States. He just is a person that I've sort of followed through the years because he's had such an eclectic career as an actor, being a part of, was in a series that was called I Spy, a detective type of thing, shoot 'em up, problem-solving type of an environment that took him to different places. And then, he had that wonderful family show, but he's always got this great sense of humor. And I can remember getting CDs years ago and just laughing so hard I could hardly breathe because of his perspectives in the way that he did his comedy. And one of the things I loved about his comedy is he didn't use any expletives. And sometimes I get so tired of him. Do you ever get tired of that? I get so tired of this, or jingle, jingle, that, and all of this stuff, and it just takes away. It, to me, I feel like so many times these people can't even think because that's all they know how to use are expletives. It just absolutely bores me no end. But I came across this little story that he had. He had a book he put out called Fatherhood, and he talked about parents and homework. This is what he said, and I think a lot of us can relate to this. He said, when your child is struggling in school, you have such a strong desire to help that you often find it easier just to do the work yourself rather than use a middleman. And he said it was a few weeks before his daughter had come to him saying, Dad, I'm in a bind. I've got to do this paper right away. So he said, all right, what's your plan of work? She immediately said, you type it for me. So he had done this before. So he typed her paper. When he finished and looked at the paper, he said, gee, I'm afraid there's just one problem. And she asked, what's that, Dad? He said, well, this is awful. As your secretary, I can't let you turn this in. He said, needless to say, I rewrote it for her, and I picked up a B-. Now, I would have had a B+ if I hadn't misspelled all those words. And he said, so consequently, I've done high school at least twice, probably closer to 3 times, and I've gone through college a couple of times, too. Oh, boy. I think there's a lot of parents that can relate to that. So anyway, I just wanted to share that cute little story by Bill Cosby. I really like him. I just think he's a phenomenal man. Not only that, he's articulate, and he really has a very clear picture of responsibility and family. But I love his sense of humor. I just think it's just a joy. Okay, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Now, who's coming on tomorrow is Marie Jones. Marie is a repeat guest. This is a lady who is busy putting out, I'd say about a book a year. And she came out with one, along with her associate, called Deja Vu. Ever had a feeling that you were in a place before, but you couldn't explain why? Well, we're going to be talking about that. And there's some science. Well, at least they think there's some science behind it. So we'll be discussing it. And, of course, on Friday, we're going to be talking with Stanton Friedman. Yes, he's the UFO guy. You've seen him on television and radio, and Stanton's been on my show before. This time, we're going to be talking about a publication that he, along with an associate, have put out about how science was wrong and how science many times is considered a religion. Ah, yes, because people will adamantly say certain things are absolutes, and lo and behold, someone comes around that proves them wrong, just like the guy that proves that you can have an engine run on salt water. Ah, yes, I saw a video on that just the other day. No, that's not supposed to be possible. Guess what? This guy did it, and he found out about it as a mistake because he was looking for a cure for cancer for his wife. Fascinating stuff, so we're going to be talking about science on Friday. I hope you can join us. Tell your friends. Well, I wanted to share some information for those of you that are independent entrepreneurs. There are so many challenges that are being faced today, and I think we need to really be down to earth with it. Life has a tendency to be a roller coaster. When you're going up, you're going up, but there's a peak at one point or another, and you're going to hit that peak, and all of a sudden you're going to go down maybe, and you're going to be in for the ride of your life. Well, for a lot of people, they feel that's exactly what they're going through right now, and the roller coaster hasn't leveled out. There's a lot of people that are out of work. However, we've gotten through rough times before, and we can do it again. How do we do it? Well, it's called utilizing something that typically is not considered very common, and that's common sense. However, if we are willing to learn and we are willing to shift, we are willing to open our minds and attitudes to possibilities. We have options many times we might never have considered. Let me give you an example. There is an associate of mine that I've known for a number of years who's in real estate. When the real estate market started taking a dive, boy, by the time she got through talking, you would have thought everything in this part of the world was just going to go down the toilet, be flushed away forever, and nothing was ever going to surface again. She was just in this dire mood. And I said, well, wait a minute. I've seen times before that were bad. I said, we're not dealing with an interest rate. Yes, the banks have really screwed up a lot of things, and yes, there's a lot of stuff that's going on that's not particularly nice. However, there are still people that want homes. There are still people that have money. They've saved their money. They have money to invest. Why are you looking at this as being a death knell? They were hard-pressed. Oh, you just don't understand the market. Oh, you just don't understand this or that. Or you're too Pollyannish. Perhaps. But remember, life isn't a straight line. It isn't. It never has been. It never will be. So as we're going through these difficult times, maybe we ought to utilize some think tanks. Find out about different approaches to do different things. It can be resolved. Now, there's a woman by the name of Michelle Olson. And she's very much involved in the luxury real estate market. And she said, boy, in 2008, we went into a dive in the luxury market. That was horrific. 10-year relationships were gone in one call. Developers lost everything. It just was. Remember that roller coaster I described? It was on the downward dive, big time. Now, what happened is that Michelle, she had a nice staff. She had a number of people working for her. Regrettably, she did have to do a layoff. But has she gone out of business? No. She said, I turned things around because instead of going into my shell, instead of saying, I'm just going to have to close my doors. She did what she had to do because the dollars weren't coming in, so she decided to economize to the best of her capability. But the one thing she didn't do was hide away. She decided she was going to a seminar that was talking about social media. And she said, social media can be a growth platform for me. And she said it gave me an entirely different perspective that I'd never had before. So they have started utilizing that, and because of Twitter and also going to every single seminar, reading whatever they could on utilizing social media, she said, we are finding that we can help people in ways that we never would have been able to help them before. And her business is diversifying. And she said this is what has enabled her to weather the downturn. She knew she had to diversify before the downturn occurred, and she keeps doing it. She said she really had to change her mind about what she did, and she had to change her actions, and the staff she had remaining followed suit because she led by example. And she said, I really found that I had a network of individuals and environments that were there for me. Even though they were going through tough times, we've been able to help each other. It's a good story. I think it's a true one in so many levels that it's a truth that we can apply for ourselves. So don't give up on life. Realize this may be opportunity cloaked in a guise that perhaps you don't know how to recognize. It can happen to all of us. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Don't go away. And by the way, give me a call if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Do you have $30 million hanging around in your closet or backyard somewhere, maybe where you buried it? Well, if you just don't know what to do with your money, there is an island that's been up for sale. There is a European Channel island of Herm, which measures 1.5 miles long and 0.5 miles wide, has a population of 50 people. If you wanted to get away from everything, it'd be a great place to go. And the island was put up for sale at the price of $30 million. So if you just have nothing else to do and you want to get away from the helter-skelter rat race of life, that's an island you may want to look into. Also, there is an interesting situation with real estate that occurred in Stockholm, Sweden. An apartment was put up for sale in a sought-after district of that wonderful city, In August of 2008, it was complete with a live-in stepfather. Well, you know, life can be rather unusual at times. The woman who inherited a share of the apartment after her mother died wanted to sell it, but her stepfather refused to move out. Life does present us with some interesting, interesting things. And also, I have in front of me a photo about a board fence. Now, that may not sound like much, but Hawaiian Donald DJ Detloff is a surfer, and he just loves doing things that are a bit unusual. And over 20 years ago, with a storm that was threatening Maui, he decided to tie his surfboards up with wire to prevent them from being blown away, and he has ended up creating a local landmark in Maui, and that is a fence made entirely of surfboards. It has grown to include over 700 surfboards, and the photo here is just absolutely amazing. And a lot of these surfboards were donated by friends and strangers, all who wanted to contribute to this very unique fence that he started over 20 years ago. So he's got surfboards, bodyboards, and kite boards that are all in the fence. It's extremely colorful, and it actually looks pretty good. It's quite an interesting, unique idea in an environment, an island environment that's absolutely marvelous. Yesterday, I was sharing something with you about the books you read, and because we ran out of time, I didn't finish what I was going to share. And this is the time of year when so many of us, if we have a chance to go on vacation, we like to take along reading materials that we otherwise might even not have time to look at. And usually they're odds and ends of materials. Well, what if you really like memoirs and you just find that that kind of material really is something that brings you a lot of pleasure? Well, what it means, and what I was sharing with you yesterday before the end of the show, is that there are these surveys that have been done, and there was a psychologist, Raymond Marr of York University, who did an analysis of people and what they read. And people he found that enjoyed memoirs were very ambitious people, and this is the reason why. He said, if you like biographies and memoirs, you like these stories about triumphing over hard times or unique circumstances, and it's just not they're a good read, they're inspiration to you. You really, really like that, and you go after what you really want in life, but more important, when you do get knocked down, instead of wasting time feeling sorry for yourself, you get right back up and get busy again. You gravitate to those very elements in the stories that show that the ups and downs of life can be overcome. Adversity is not an enemy. You can leverage it so that you can be a winner. Now, if you're a romance person, if you absolutely love romance, I found this interesting. Those that love romance novels like to break rules. They don't want to do what everybody else does. Now, romance novels, well, you know, they can be interesting sometimes, but you're not a fan of convention. You really believe in the power of the hero or the heroine, that they can make their own way in life. No matter what the traditions, regulations are, they can withstand them and conquer and achieve what they want. And by golly, the knights in shining armors, you're always expecting them somewhere along the line. Now, what if you're a mystery lover? You like those mysteries. You want to figure them out. Well, that means you're extra intuitive. Yes, we know about the Hercule Poirot stuff. We know about Sherlock Holmes and any kind of mysteries, real or what, you know, are made up. It doesn't make any difference. You're a person that really likes to figure out what's going on. What makes people tick? You like to figure out motives. You like to be able to analyze perspective. Very, very intuitive a person. So that just gives you a little bit of insight into the various aspects of reading material. It doesn't cover them all, but it just gives you a little bit of a taste. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Tomorrow we'll be talking about Deja Vu with Maurice Jones, and I think you'll find some of the stories interesting. Don't ever think that life cannot hold adventures for you. just the fact that you're right here right now means that there could be one just around the corner. Embrace it, because it may give you a journey of experience that will take you to fascinating places. Donna Sebo here. Have a wonderful day, and we'll be talking with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here at BBS Radio. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.